All right, let's go ahead and dive off into it. Tonight we're going to begin to deal with, pick up where we left off with persistence and prayer. Persistence and prayer. Before I get off into it, just a few reminders. Number one, this week is Prosperity Revival in Baton Rouge. The apostle has said it numerous times for the last week or two, and I think he really would like to see his daughters and sons and family members of the body of Christ attend this meeting. I've never heard the apostle really push it as much. Usually he don't really say nothing, but he's really pushing it. So I would advise you, the students, if you can, like for you to attend. Also, test is next week, correct? And then I think a week after that, we have Prosperity Revival, one of our second biggest meetings of the year. Just prepare yourself for that, 11th through the 15th. Turn your Bibles quickly to 1 Samuel 10. 1 Samuel 10. As the apostle was teaching, you always have to be open. When it's a man or woman of God is ministering, be open to what the Spirit of God is telling you. He was dealing with the anointing tonight, but I saw something with this prayer. I believe that to tap into a certain realm of the Spirit, you have to be anointed in prayer. It's not just going to be a fly-by-night type of prayer when you get in the presence of God. I think there's a special anointing for that. And Pastor was dealing with something tonight, the apostle, and my spirit leaked when I saw this. And the Holy Spirit said, make sure you get this. 1 Samuel 10, look at verse 1. Then Samuel took a vial. What did he take? A vial of oil, and poured it upon his head. And he kissed him and said, is this not because the Lord has anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? All right. So he was anointed, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Go to 1 Samuel 16. Look at verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of what? And anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now, I think y'all had that scripture in class prior, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, remember I told you had to be anointed for prayer? Why not use the scripture? If you look at 1 Samuel 10, Samuel didn't make it. Saul didn't make it. Saul lost that anointing. All right? David became anointed, and he began to operate as God called him to operate. Matter of fact, Saul got upset. And when one of the main reasons he got upset was because he saw the anointing that was on him that was now functioning in David's life. See, people get upset when they see what they're supposed to have, but you functioning in it. All right? But this is my point with these two. 1 Samuel 10, the Bible says there was a flask of oil poured on Saul's head. 1 Samuel 16 says there was a horn of oil pouring on David's head. What's the difference here? Same way with this prayer. One was in the flesh. The other was a horn. Something had to die. Hallelujah. See, I see that now with prayer. There's some prayers that you try to pray. If you pray out the flesh, can't nothing happen. But when you die, when you give up yourself, the anointing of the prayer now becomes more stronger than you would ever imagine. God have mercy. Persistence in prayer. I want to go back over some things because it's something that's going to be in your test, and we have limited time tonight. So, but I feel like it didn't go over like it should have went last week. We must not only pray, but we must also pray with great urgency. If you have any spirit in you, if you watch the news, read the newspaper, just living, you will know this is one of the greatest times we got to pray every life. People are just going crazy. We need prayer. I saw yesterday, I heard a man the other day, it was kind of funny when he said it, he was an older fella. He said, Rip, people dying, they ain't never died before. I said, yeah. But I understood what he was saying, but the difference now is because of media and television and something more accessible, you know, but same people been dying, you understand? But I'm saying that we have to pray with great urgency. And we have to pray with great urgency because we're seeing things you never saw before. I just saw another day, and it broke my heart, that a young girl, 3 years old, she was sick. And they took her to the hospital, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong. The girl, 3 years old, had an STD. And the girl's boyfriend who's watching her, you understand, we have a demand that he just got through killing half the neighborhood because he got tired of dogs barking. You understand? You seen all kind of crazy stuff. If you don't understand, we got to pray. Something wrong with you. And see, that's why prayer can't be about your car and your house. It has to be about the will of God so God can get this thing done. I told you the definition of, not definition. Intensity and repetition. We must pray with intensity, with repetition. We must not just pray, but pray again and again and again. See, even once we begin to pray for the things of God, pray for people of God, pray for this country, and you don't see nothing happening, let's give a good example. People say, well, Pat, Rev, they'll talk to you, so I pray, but ain't nothing happening. You know what you need to tell them? Pray again. See, you expect me to give you a different answer. I don't have another answer for you. Just pray again. Pray again until you see something happen. Now, here's a definition of persistence. It's a firm continuance in a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. A firm continuance. In other words, you just keep going in a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. In other words, it don't matter how I look. It don't matter how difficult the situation is. I got to keep on praying. I know someone might have died. You might have lost a loved one. You might have lost a job. You might have sickness or disease. You may be broke. It don't matter. Keep on praying. Stay on your knees. Stay before God until God, like Jacob did, hold on to God. Wrestle with God till God show up in that house. We must press our prayers upon God. What we got to do? Press them on God. Keep trying to get in his faith. The best way, Lord Jesus, the best way I can illustrate this, I've never watched it. I just saw the commercial, but they got some old silly show. I don't even know what the name of it is. But when you're talking about pressing upon God, that means you just, I'm ahead of myself. That's a definition I'm going to give you. But I'm ahead of myself. I want to use definition, not definition, but example. They got this little cartoon that comes on. They ain't really no cartoon. It's a cartoon, but it's a dog cartoon. I know that much. And the little thing, not thing, little boy, he sit there, I call him the thing, big head thing. He sit there on his the person, mommy, 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 mommy. And he's yelling, what? You know, but the point is, I'm trying to get you, he was pressing on her until he got his answer. That's how we got to be with God. you got to just, Lord, it's me, Lord, it's me. Lord, I'm here again. Lord, it's me. Lord, it's me. Lord, I'm right here. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need an answer. Lord, it's me. Lord, it's me. God say, you know what? I'm going to answer this. I'm going to answer this, y'all. See, we laugh, but that's not what prayer is. It's pressing upon God till God finally answer you. See, that little boy had more sense than we did. Mama, 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 mama. She just said, I'll make more, but she just couldn't take it no more. Till she say, what? See, I like that, because you got to press God to the point he finally say, okay, what do you want? Let's look at the scripture. We're going to look at the scripture. We're going to look at this widow woman, all right? I don't think she's a widow. Luke 18. I don't think she's a widow. No, yeah, that's it. I'm ahead of myself, that's the one, but we're going to look at Luke 18. Mm-hmm. We're going to look at this poor woman's case was a hopeless one, but importunity brought hope. I'm going to give you a definition of what that is in a minute. Importunity. It brought hope. See, I'm going to give you this. Some people say that opportunity does what? Knock. I'm going to be a different advocate this evening to tell you that opportunity doesn't always knock. Sometimes opportunity sits by idly waiting for someone to come get him. Because sometimes opportunity looks like an unfair exchange. See, sometimes opportunity don't always look good. Okay, let's bring to our home. Some people don't understand the power of a seed. So they can't, and they have an opportunity when they get into the apostle's presence to plant in his soil. But to some people, that don't look like an opportunity. It looks like an unfair exchange. Because why am I going to give somebody something that already got more than me? So it looks unfair. Boy, I ain't got time to preach that, but look. Luke 18. I want to read this from the Message translation. Luke 18. All right. Jesus told them a story showing that it was necessary for them to pray consistently and never quit. He said there was once a judge in some city who never gave God a thought and cared nothing for his people. A widow in that city kept after him. She said, "My rights are being violated. Protect me, Lord." He never gave her the time of day. But after this went on and on and on, he said to himself, "I care nothing what God thinks, even less what people think. But because his widow won't quit badgering me, because she won't quit badgering me, he said, I better do something about this and see that she gets justice. If this woman had enough sense to keep badgering this unjust judge, to hear her prayer, to hear her call, what kind of God do you serve? Do you think God would sit by idly and let you pray, let you see at him and not answer you? Well, the problem is not that he's not answering. Sometimes you give up too quick. There's the story about the book about the diamond acres, I think it is, or acres, whatever it is, and how the man was digging for gold or digging for diamonds, and he kept digging and digging, and he just quit and sold the property for little nothing. He said, "You can just have it because there's nothing on this property." And then the people who bought it dug 5 more feet and hit gold. And it was one of the richest gold mines ever in history. The problem is with prayer, sometimes we right there on the edge, but we quit. And the time you quit is right when God is about to answer you. So we got to get to the point like this woman. She said, she kept badgering me to the point that I got to do something about it. I'm here to tell you, you got to keep badgering God. You got to keep seeking God's face. You got to stay crying out to God until you finally get your answer. He says, like she said, "I better do something and see that she gets justice. Otherwise, I'm going to end up beaten black and blue by her pounding." In other words, she kept seeking. Remember Jacob, we got to talk about Jacob. Jacob, I'm not letting you go. You bless me. See, that's badgering. That's pounding. That's pressing on God till you get your answer. Then the master said, "Do you hear what that judge, corrupt as he is saying? So what makes you think God will step in and work justice for his chosen people who continue to cry for help? Won't he stick up for them? I assure you, he will. He would not drag his feet." I told you last week, he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. But how much of a kind of a persistent faith will the Son of Man find on earth when he returns? Will God find you being that persistent? Are you going to quit? Are your emotions trained more than your spirit? Are you going to cave in? Watch this. Let's define importunate. I-M-P-O-R-T-U-N-A-T-E. I was calling it importunate and all kinds of stuff. I found out I got to let Bane that said it for me. It says importunate. So that's what it is, importunate. IMPORTUNATE. It says, important in prayer summons and removes all obstacles, overcomes every resisting force, and gains its end in the face of invincible hindrances. That word importunate is this. To the point of annoyance or intrusion. Mommy. See, he said important in prayer summons or removes all obstacles and overcome resisting force. In other words, it's a prayer to the point that you are annoying or intrusion. We can do nothing without prayer, but all things that can be done by importunate prayer, that's a teaching of Jesus Christ. Go to Mark 7. Well, no, let's go to Mark 11 first. Let's go to Mark 11. And we're going to look at some examples of important prayers, or people who had important prayers. People who are prayed to the point of annoyance or intrusion. So I'm trying to get this over the best I can, where you have to, I guess the word may throw people off, because you really can't annoy God. But you got to get to the point where you become annoying to get him to answer you. Let's look at the Bible, Luke 11. Look at about the man that wanted to borrow the bread. Look at this good example. I like reading for the message, because it do something. Then he said Luke 11, 5 through 10. No, we're going to go Luke first. Luke 11. Luke 11. We'll go to Mark next. While you're going to Luke 11, it importunate. IMPORTUNITY is in your book. That's defined as insisted solicitation or entreaty. Just going after it, man. Just going after it. You know how them people sometimes you walk at the store, people solicit to you. Look, I got some cologne. It's Polo, $5. It's real. No. $5. But they soliciting. They coming after. They don't quit, boy. They don't quit. You saw 5 minutes ago. Look, I know you like that one, but I got a better one now. You like this one. Luke 11, 5 through 10, I'm reading from the Message translation. It says, then he said, imagine what would happen if you went to a friend in the middle of the night and said, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. An old friend was traveling through, just showed up, and I don't have anything in hand. Now, just imagine you in your nice, comfortable bed. It's probably wintertime. It's cool. The heat good. That comfort of feeling real nice. Fireplace may be going if you got one. And it's about 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning. And somebody knock on your door talking about, my friend just came in town. We want to make some real cheese. You got some bread? And they at the window. They not real tight. Hey, what? You got some bread? That's what happened right here. He wants some bread. And the friend answers from his bed, don't bother me. The door is locked. My children are down for the night. I can't get them to give you nothing right now. That's what man translation say. And he said, but let me tell you, even if you won't get up because his friend, if you stand your ground knocking and awake and waking all the neighbors, he'll finally get up. You look, I gotta feed my friend. You wanna get up? I'ma start knocking at your door, rattling your window, the dog, you know how we start knocking at your door, all the dogs start barking, and you start knocking and everything gonna crave, people start cutting out, looking out the window. You keep bragging them long enough, they're gonna get up and say, look, take this bread and leave. Insist solicitation or treat it. Importunate. To the point of annoyance or intrusion. We're talking about prayer here now. Y'all got to put the two together. Yes, sir. That's what he's trying to get people to see. He said, but even if they don't get up for the friend, if you just stand your ground. God may not answer yet. Stand your ground. He say, keep on knocking. And wait. And if you do, you wake all the neighbors. He'll finally get up and get you whatever you need. Here's what I'm saying. Ask and you'll get it. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. Don't bargain with God. Be direct. Ask what you need. This is not a cat and mouse and hide and seek game you're in. Hallelujah. But you got to get to the point where you are so persistent with God. I'ma keep on knocking. I'ma stay on my knees. I'ma keep crying out. I'ma keep worshiping God. I'ma keep lifting my hands. I'ma keep dancing. I'ma keep shouting. I'ma keep praying my child. I'ma keep praying my son. I'ma keep praying my daughter. I'ma do whatever I gotta do until God, you answer me. That's the example you just gave right here. You want to get up and give it to me. Say, okay. I'm still out here. Hey, you know, you start hollering. Hey, I know you hear me. Mommy. See, you won't forget that one. I bet you won't forget that one. The Son of God is pleased when you do this. Lord, have mercy. She was her, wait a minute, that's the other woman. We're going to get to her in a minute. Let's go and get to her now. The woman that got called a dog. Let's go to, what is it, Mark 7. Your dog. Ain't that nothing to talk about a dog. We in the 21st century, y'all may understand. Careful better. Careful. Same thing, I'm just trying to help you. Get you to see the picture. What about call you no heifer? Mark 7:24. Mm-hmm. From there, I'm reading from the Message, so don't get confused. From there was Jesus set out for the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house there where he didn't think he would be found, but he couldn't escape notice. He was barely inside when a woman who had a disturbed daughter heard where he was. She came in and knelt at his feet, begging for help. The woman was Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth. She asked him to cure his daughter. He said, stand in line, take your turn. The children get fed first. If there's any left over, then the dogs will get something to eat. She said, of course, Master, teen trip. See, you got to be persistent. I said, you got to be persistent. Despite, remember the definition? Remember what I told you? What was that, Lord? Despite the difficulty or opposition? See, you can't get mad. See, that sounds good. Like her, because we're reading in the Bible, like, hallelujah. And you go ask a pastor something. Pastor say, you ain't my dog. Get out of my faith. See, could you take it? Could you take it if you say, Pastor, I need to ask you something. You need to ask me nothing. What's it now? Could you take it? And she said, of course, Master. But don't dogs under the table at least get the scraps dropped by the children? Jesus was impressed. Is Jesus impressed about your persistence in prayer? Or can he call you a quitter? Hey, he'll call you when he needs to call you. Maybe call him a stiff-necked serpent, all that good stuff. He'll call you a quitter. I told you, some people quit on God in prayer. Jesus was impressed. He said, you're right. On your way. Your daughter's no longer disturbed. The demonic affliction is gone. She went home and found her daughter relaxed on the bed, and the torment was gone for good. Glory to God. The Son of God, please, surprise, overpowered by her courage and persistence, and said to her, woman, great is thy faith, be it unto you according as it will. You have to get to the place where God will say to you, you got great faith, daughter. You got great faith, son. Whatever you want, take it now. But see, we have to go into prayer with that attitude that, God, I'm coming to you knowing that you're going to answer me. I'm coming to you knowing that this situation is about to be corrected. Matter of fact, I hear, Lord, that situation is about to be resurrected. Yes, it's about to be brought back to life. Yes, sir. No matter how bad it looks, how difficult it is. Without persistence, prayers may go unanswered. An opportunity is made up of ability to hold on, to continue, to wait with unrelaxed, unrelaxable grasp, restless desire, restful patience. Oh, Lord. Importunate prayer is not accidental occurrence, but the main thing, not a performance, but a passion, not an option, but a necessity. Have mercy, Jesus. We got to get to the point where every time I pray, God does not have time for vain prayers. God does not have time for me to just be saying lullaby prayers. See, heaven is too busy to listen to half-hearted prayers or to respond hastily, thoughtless calls of God. I told you, like a caller ID. Even if certain people, you know, that call you, that conversation ain't really worth talking to. So when you call them, you see them on call ID, you say, nah, I don't feel like talking to her right now. Well, that's how certain prayers are to God. Because they're thoughtless. Hallelujah. See, people don't want to talk about it too much. You might put God answer all prayer. No, you don't. No, you don't. We must press our pleas because we must have them or die. Hallelujah. We must press our pleas because we must have them or die. In other words, to the point, Lord, you got to answer me because my life depends on this. If you don't answer me, it's just all over. You understand what he's trying to say. Hallelujah. And you got a test next week. Amen. That's it. Bye. Wow. Time flies.